Home, that we will be with you forever. And between the already and the not yet coming of your kingdom, you call us to wait on you. And so we trust in and we submit to your perfect timing, trusting that you are working all things out for good, for those who love you and have been called by you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Matt, Bree, Eric, Craig. Well, what a special morning for us to be here. You can go ahead and take a seat. And we have, again, an awesome opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, and you've heard already the invitation to respond a little bit later on, and even just sitting here singing that last song, the image of the Father's arms being open wide. No matter where you've been, no matter where you're from, no matter the season of life that you're in, today, the present, is always a great day to come to the Lord. Because his arms are open wide and he loves each and every one of us so dearly. So just know, again, that we've got staff and elders to be able to talk with you, to pray with you, if you feel the Spirit prompting to respond. As we do each Sunday, I want to start by talking with the kids. We're going to be talking about baptism this morning. So kids, if you've got kids with you, I know they may be scattered across the hillside. But kids, if you're here, I want to hang out with you guys down front. Because will you guys come down by the tank? You don't go in the tank. Yeah, just come on down right in front. Yeah, come on down right around here. Want to hang out with you guys. Come on down, come on down. I know it'll be very tempting to touch the water, so I won't even put that rule out there. Just don't splash somebody, okay? And try for sure not to fall in, all right? Calvin, you get to go in a little bit later, so that's going to be awesome too. Yeah, and Cohen as well. Awesome, come on down. Good. Well, here, I'll stand right over here so you guys can see. Hey, so when we talk about baptism, here's real quick. When we talk about baptism, we talk about it being a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. I want to know, that's kind of a big word. What is covenant? Anybody know what a covenant is? Has anybody heard that word in the Bible? A covenant? Or maybe you can think of another place in the Bible where God made a covenant with somebody else. Whoops, don't splash. Yeah, maybe this was a terrible idea. How about God made a covenant with a guy who built a really big boat? Anybody know who that might be? Noah, that's right. And Noah built the boat and he brought all these animals on and he made a covenant after the flood, the water went down, that God made a covenant with Noah. Let's not splash. You can just look. Yeah, we roll the dice sometimes. Here's what I want you guys to know. God told Noah that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. And he gave Noah a sign of that covenant. And does anybody know what the sign of that covenant was? A rainbow. That's right. He said, I will put a rainbow in the sky to remind you this is a sign of my promise. And so when we talk about baptism, we talk about it being a sign of what God has done in somebody's life. All right? And so I want you guys to remember that. Just like the rainbow in the sky marked the covenant that God made with Noah, we talk about the water of baptism being the sign of what God has done, the life change that God has brought in somebody's life. All right? It feels good. It's kind of hot. It's refreshing. So I'm going to pray for you guys and let you guys go and head back and sit back down. All right, let me pray for you. Dear Jesus, I thank you for these kids. I thank you for each and every one of them and what you're doing in their lives, in their hearts. And we pray that we as the church would continue to come alongside them, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and the church as a whole to continue to teach them, instruct them, and point them to you, that they would know you and love you and serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, this water will be here later on too. So go ahead and head on back to your seats, and then you guys can, if you're hot later. We're going to start it in just a second. All right. Well, you know what? That was a good idea on paper. I'm in about 15 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Good job, kiddos. Thanks. You win some, you lose some. It's always a beautiful time with our kids. And I know that oftentimes the sort of our cliff note version of what we're talking about sometimes resonates with all of us, as it does when we try to bring things sort of off the top shelf to teach our kids about why we're here today. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, we are here to celebrate what God has done and what God is doing in the lives of those who will be coming down front in just a few minutes to be baptized. And we, the body of believers, we gather, and anytime someone is baptized, we also remember and we recommit ourselves. Remember the time that we were baptized. Remember the time that we first proclaimed our faith. And so it is good for all of us as a body to be together to celebrate this sacrament. Sadly, though, oftentimes the conversation and the disagreements around the practice of baptism distract us from this main point. And so I would hate for any of us to miss this big picture of what God is really doing by getting hung up on certain practices. Hopefully you've seen, though, if you've been at Pepsi for any amount of time, hopefully you've seen our commitment to the Big C Church, the commitment to the kingdom of God, the commitment to what God is doing across the board. And it's emulated in the sacrament of baptism. This is a chance that we really flesh out the motto of the EPC denomination, that in essentials we will have unity, in non-essentials there will be liberty, and in all things there will be charity. So what that means is that we believe that the sacrament of baptism is an essential. We believe that it is commanded by Jesus and God's word, and that all who believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord should be baptized. That is the essential. And then we also believe that the mode and the timing of baptism is the non-essential. The mode referring to sprinkling or pouring or full immersion. And we'll see all of those here in a little bit. And then the timing means that someone, if someone is baptized as an infant or as a child or as a teen, an adult, that falls under the category of what we call a non-essential. Again, we have people coming from a lot of different backgrounds, right? Some of you may have grown up in a Presbyterian church where you only baptized infants. Or some of you may come from a Baptist background where baptizing infants is way out of the question. Again, so we want to say, hey, we come from a lot of different backgrounds, and we're not going to break fellowship with one another on where you fall as far as the mode and the timing of baptism. Again, we want to uphold, we want to lift up, the fundamental truth that God is working in each other's lives. And we want to celebrate that when somebody comes to faith, when somebody affirms their faith publicly before that. Having grown up in this denomination is one of the things that I find to be such a blessing. As Gary says, we major in the majors. We don't major in the minors, right? We keep the main thing the main thing. And so if you come and say, hey, we would like to baptize our infant, great. If you come and say, hey, we would like to dedicate our infant, great. The commitment from the church is the same, that we will commit to walk with you, just as we will do in a little bit. We'll take a congregational vow to say, hey, there are kids that are coming forward today, teens, students, adults. Regardless of age, season of life, we as the church will commit to continue to walk with them and teach them and support all along the way. It's important to note also that we will have some that will come back to the water today as a reaffirmation of faith. It's important to note this is not a second baptism. We believe that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and so baptism is to be celebrated one time. But as we talked with the kids about, we recognize that baptism is a sign, and God has given us a lot of markers throughout history. He gave different markers to his people to help them to remember what he has done. We see, you know, Ebenezer stones in the Old Testament. We see, again, different markers of the covenant because we're sometimes pretty dense in the head, and we need things, tangible things, tactile things to be able to hold on to. And for someone, maybe they were baptized as an infant, and maybe today they're making a proclamation of faith for the first time. Maybe someone was baptized when they were young and they strayed from the Lord for many years and now they're coming back to faith. Again, we want to celebrate and mark that as a sign, as a symbol of what God has done in their life. And so you'll recognize that those reaffirmations of faith, we don't use what's called formally the baptismal formula. Even in that, it starts to sound a little bit pedantic, right? And so I don't want to go too far into it and miss it. But if you have questions about the way that we practice baptism, again, hopefully at the end of the day, I hope you understand that we have unity in the essentials. And then we would love to talk with Liberty and Charity about all of the other things. Hi, Cody. How you doing, bud?
Spontaneous baptism.
Come here. Hi. And so again, our desire in upholding the essentials in unity, the non-essentials with liberty, it's not that we hope that it is not confusing, but again, we want to be unified. And so what I want to briefly cover before we have people come down is some of these essentials, what we mean when we're talking about baptism. As we've already mentioned, it is a holy sign and seal of the covenant of grace. As a sign, it proclaims God's forgiveness and our redemption in Jesus Christ. As a seal, God marks us as adopted children of our Heavenly Father. And so these sacraments, baptism and communion, the Lord's Supper, they confirm our relationship to Him. So baptism is a sign of one being engrafted into the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the visible church here as we gather, one is brought into the body, but one is also engrafted into Christ. It's a sign of our rebirth or our regeneration. It's an external sign of something that has happened internally. All right? Regeneration is the work of only the Holy Spirit. No one person can regenerate another person. No preaching or singing of just songs in and of themselves can regenerate someone. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, and that is what we are symbolizing here today. Again, this is an important differentiation. Baptism, coming to the water, baptism, this act in and of itself does not save anyone. It again is a sign, is a seal, it is a marking, a remembrance of what God has already done and what God will continue to do. Again, that's why we take vows and we make commitments together to continue to partner with the Lord in the work. Baptism is a sign of the remission of sins. Again, in baptism, we're reminded of our failures contrary to the righteousness of God and our need for God's mercy and forgiveness. That's why each week in our services, whether or not we're having baptisms, we take time to confess our sins, to recommit individually and corporately to our relationship with the Lord. And when we come to God, when we confess our sins to Him, when we confess our need for Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And so the sign of that justification or the sign of the gospel itself is baptism. Part of what is being promised in this sign is that all who believe will have their sins removed from them forever. Baptism is a sign of the remission of sins and justification through Jesus Christ. And so it's a sign of one's engrafting into Christ, one's engrafting into the body of believers. It's a sign of forgiveness. It's a sign of rebirth in Christ. And last, baptism is a sign of our ability to walk in the Spirit in newness of life. The verse that's referenced on these t-shirts is Romans 6, 4 through 5 that says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." So baptism signifies the whole work of redemption, our election, our regeneration, our justification, our faith, our sanctification, and ultimately one day our glorification. New believers will come and commit themselves, and those who have been baptized recommit themselves to endeavor to live by faith, walking in the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit who called us now empowers us to walk in newness of life. And so that call and that commitment to surrender to God, it's a daily choice. As I met with some of those young people who will be baptized today, I said, you are making a choice today, but you will continue to make this choice each and every day. And those of you who have been walking with the Lord for a while know that it is a daily choice to surrender, a daily choice to commit yourself to reading God's word, to communing with Him, to pressing on through trials. It's not as though we come to the water and we're baptized and it's sort of stamped our passport and we're free to just travel through life however we want. No, this is a marker. And so for those of you getting baptized today, I hope and I pray that you will remember this day, that God will continue to bring you back to this day. Again, to remember the sign. And it's the same for all of us. And again, I praise God that he's given us this sacrament to remind us of his grace, not our own work. His work, not our own. I was reminded this past week as I was able to catch up with an old friend of this fundamental truth that it's God's work, not our own. Again, for some of you, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you know that there are hard times, that there are really dark times. And if our faith, if our assurance of our salvation was up to our own faith, our own ability to feel it, our own ability to even go through the motions on some extent, we would be helpless. And so it's in the times that we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when we are overwhelmed by the weight of our sin, when we are so burdened down, that we remember back to what God has done and what God is continuing to do in our life. Because again, if it's only up to us, we can't do it. And then we're left in total despair. And so for some of the kids and younger people who may be coming today, life may be pretty easy. And for a while, hopefully the Lord continues to protect you. But you know, we all know that as we go through life, it's hard. Relationships are hard. The world is hard. The world is broken. The enemy is coming after us to attack us, and we will be at times brought down. And so it's not a matter of how tightly we can cling to the Lord, because we can't cling tight enough. You know, I was thinking it's a little bit about the way if I were to try and hold water and carry water someplace else, I can't really hold on to this that well. But if I put my hand fully into the water, there's no way it's not wet. If this will dry off. If I try to go on my own power, being filled each and every Sunday and take the love of Christ and go out through the week and just like carry it from one Sunday to another, I dry out by the end. But if I am continually coming to the well, if I am continually being filled, if I am just living fully immersed day after day in Christ, then he is in and through and around and on all sides of me. And again, I was reminded of that very, very profoundly this week, meeting with a friend who has been walking with the Lord for a really long time and found himself in a really, really hard place. And I said, God, none of us can do this on our own. We need you. And so when we come, you know, when we sing the song of coming to the altar and bowing down before God, I wonder, my hope and my prayer would be that we all in spirit and heart and even in practice, that we would come to that place where we would just fall flat on our face before the Lord and say, God, I need you. If you've made a decision today, if you made a decision 40 years ago, each and every day waking up saying, God, I need you desperately. I can't do this on my own. As we talked a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council, there was a lot of disagreement and dissension, maybe sometimes as there would be around baptism. But then when some of the apostles get up, they share stories of life change and the whole assembly falls silent. And so again, more than what I have to say, what we want to share this morning is stories of life change by having those who are going to be baptized come forward. And so if that's you this morning, Pastor Gary's going to come up. Pastor Doug's going to come up. If you would start making your way down front. And again, we want to hear from those who are being baptized or reaffirmed this morning. And we've got a great opportunity to hear what God is doing in the lives of these young people, older people, everybody in between. So come on down, guys.